Alrighty, hey, check this out. Speaking about dying, one day there's this old preacher, and he was dying and had very little time left on earth. So get this, Sean, here's what he decided to do. He sent a message, of all people, to an IRS agent and a local politician, okay? Get this, they were both actually church members, and he requested that they specifically come to his house. Well, get this, when they arrived, they were immediately ushered up into his bedroom, and as they entered the room, the old preacher there, he held out his hands, and he motioned for those the IRS guy and the politician to come and stand right on the side of each side of his bed, and then the dying preacher, he's there, and he's grasped in their hands, and he sighs contentedly, just smiles and stares at the ceiling, waiting for his time. Well, for a time, each one of the guys, they said nothing. Both the IRS agent and the politician were touched and flattered that this old preacher would ask them, of all people, to be there during his final moments on earth. But they were also puzzled at why he wanted them there. I mean, they both remembered his many long and uncomfortable sermons about greed and covetousness and wicked behavior that made them squirm in their seats. Right? And you know where I'm going. And finally, they couldn't take it anymore. And so the politician asked, well, preacher, why'd you ask the two of us to come here? And the old preacher is about ready to die. He mustered up his last bit of strength and he said weakly, well, Jesus died between two thieves and that's how I want to go too. Oh, what a way to go, huh? I tell you what. Hey, how many guys would say that preacher was making sure that he had right, adequate preparations before leaving earth, right? That's what he was doing, okay? And how many guys would say that's probably a pretty good thing to do? Okay? Slightly, okay? But unfortunately, here's the bad news, folks. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Most people in our society today, they do not have this attitude. Get this, folks. Believe it or not, the average person today is doing whatever they can to avoid the reality of what is going to happen, not if, but when you die. We are marching towards the grave, folks, just at different speeds. Wake up. And then to make matters worse, if that wasn't bad enough, that's the trend of our society, because they keep putting off getting right with God through Jesus Christ. They're not just not prepared for when they die, they are now running the risk of being left behind. And they are running the risk, folks, of being thrust into the seven-year tribulation that is coming upon the whole world. And people, once again, the tribulation, hello, wake up. It is not a party. It's an outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said this. He said it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God was merciful and shortened this time of calamity, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of what? Oh, praise God. Amen. He's a God of love as well. And because he loves you and I, just like we saw in Luke 16, because Jesus loved people, he warned them. He didn't just tell them about heaven. He told them about the alternative. There's a hell. And because God loves you and I, he's given us many signs to warn us so we would know, folks, when the tribulation was near and when Christ's second coming was just around the corner. Therefore, to help you and I to make adequate preparations so we're not left behind, we're going to continue in our series entitled The Final Countdown. We are headed, folks, deal with it, the final countdown. We've already seen, if you've been tracking with us, the number 10 sign was the Jewish people. The number 9 sign was modern technology. The number 8 sign was worldwide upheaval. And then last time we saw, folks, was the rise of what? Falsehood. And therefore, again, out of love. God doesn't have to give us any warning. He could just come and say, boom, it's too late. But out of love, he's given us this warning. He said, when you see people on the planet, a massive increase of false Christ. Do we see that? Yeah. A massive increase of false teaching. Do we see that? Slightly. He said, wake up then. This is a clear indicator that you really are living in the last days. But that's still wrong. You talk about love. How many signs does he have to give us? Get this, folks. The number 6 sign on the final countdown, out of love God gives you and I to warn us, to wake us up before it's too late, is the rise of wickedness. Unparalleled wickedness is exactly what we see today. And the first end time prophecy concerning the rise of wickedness, here's the root of it. The scripture is clear. Why is there so much wickedness? Because we would actually get to a society where people love themselves more than God. Do we see that today? Oh, folks, we have no idea that this is a major sign. We are in the last days. It's time to get motivated. But don't take my word for it. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you guys find 1 Timothy, what do you do? You guys are on the ball. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1. You find 3 Timothy, what do? Throw it away. That's right. It's not in the Bible. You guys are on the ball. That's right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. This is amazing, folks. As we read through this text, Paul says this is some clear indicators, not one, not two, but tons of clear, specific indicators. How do you know when you're of that generation, you're living in the last days? And as we read through this, tell me which one of these is not happening right now. Every single one of them, folks. Every single one of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul says this, but mark this, church. So he's speaking to. There's going to be what kind of times? Terrible times in the last days. Why? Because listen to the people. He said people will be what? First out of his mouth. Oh, I'm going to kick that hard in a little bit. People will be lovers of themselves. Not only that, but what? The American dream. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Do we see people being just brutal today? With no remorse. He says it gets even worse than that. He says you're going to be not lovers of good. You're going to be treacherous. It's going to be people are going to be rash. They're going to be what? Full of themselves. They're going to be conceited. Get this. You talk about this. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of who? And so what does he say? He says, have the, in the form of godliness, but denying his power. What do you do with those folks? Get away from it. He says, have nothing to do with it. Folks, according to our text, it is absolutely clear. One of the major characteristics of society that you know you were in the last days is it would become a society filled with what? Absolute, unadulterated wickedness, right? So what, clearly what he says there. And the root of this behavior stems from what? What was the first thing out of his mouth? People would love themselves more than they would love God. And throughout history, the scoffer is going to say something like this. Well, come on, whoop-de-doo-dah. I mean, if you study history, there's always been a form of wickedness here and there. That's been pretty commonplace, right? Okay, and I would agree. That's pretty commonplace. But here's the definite point, folks. What is not common is how in the last century alone, there's been an explosion. Get this. Not just one, but every single one of those wicked behaviors that Paul listed there, right? And it's getting worse by the day. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we are no longer shocked at this kind of wicked behavior. It's now considered the norm. Unless we forget, hey, how could we forget? Every single news station, every single 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the media pumps into our heads and reminds us how wicked we've gotten. And yet nobody realizes the prophetic significance. You're in the last days now, folks. This is what's happening. Let me give you just a clue of how fast it's going, and it's getting worse. Here's a point of reference. Keep in mind, folks, that not long ago, get this, you talk about rebels. The top discipline problems in schools used to be, listen to this, Claudia, talking, chewing gum, all those rebels, making noise, running in halls, getting out of turning line, all those people. This was the major one. They refused to put that paper in the wastebasket. And to show you folks the fruits of a society that would dare, and this is idol worship, dare love itself more than God, and how fast this will produce unadulterated wickedness. Let's take a look at what's going on in the United States, just the U.S., in just the last 30 years. This is what happens when you worship self. Violent crimes right now are up 995%. The inmate population has grown from 200,000 to nearly 2.5 million. One out of every 99 adults is incarcerated. America has now have more people per capita in prison than any nation on earth. We just eclipsed that this year, folks. Unmarried couples living together, it's up 725%. Illegitimate births are up 400%. The divorce rate in our country is now 70%. See, in some parts of California, the rate is one for every marriage. The murder right now in our country occurs every 23 minutes. A rape occurs every 6 minutes. An aggravated assault every 48 seconds. An abortion occurs every 20 seconds in our country. A burglary occurs every 8 seconds in our country. Sexually transmitted disease among 10 to 14-year-olds, it's up 385%. Unwed pregnancies, 10 to 14-year-olds, up 553%. Teenage suicide is up 200%. Get this! Every single day in America, 13 youth commit suicide, 16 are murdered, 1,000 become mothers, 100,000 bring guns to school, 2,200 drop out of school, 500 every day begin using drugs, 1,000 begin drinking alcohol, 3,500 are assaulted, 630 are robbed, and every single day, 80 kids are raped. And because of this, folks, more people have died in America in the last 30 years from murders and suicides than all the wars in the history of the U.S. Oh, but you got to love yourself. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say there's just been a little bit of a rise of wickedness in America in just the last 30 years, right? Just like the Bible said would happen when? When you were in the last days. But wait a second, here's the question. I mean, come on. Come on, how could this happen? How could there be such an explosion of wickedness in such a short amount of time, especially with America, with our godly heritage? How could a Christian nation turn from loving God to loving themselves? It's called Satan. And we have bit off into his lie. And the first reason why people have turned from loving God to loving themselves, causing this rise of wickedness, folks, is the promotion of a wicked worldview. He's got us, folks. He's promoted a wicked worldview. That's right, folks. I am talking about humanism. Little do people realize that, folks, the teaching of humanism has actually aided in this rise of wicked behavior in our country. And for those of you who may not know, just to give you a synopsis, humanism is basically the world belief that man is the center of all things, not God. Man is the center of all things, not God. Let me show you some of their beliefs in what's called the Humanist Manifesto. Okay, here's what they believe. As we watch this, folks, you wonder if this is where you're hearing this from our society. It comes straight from these guys called the humanists. They believe this: faith in the prayer hearing God, assumed to live and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, and to be able to do something about them, is an unproved and outmoded faith. We're wasting our time. They say we find insufficient evidence for the belief in the existence of a supernatural. We begin with humans, not God. They say we do not accept as true the literal interpretation of the Old and New Testaments. They say we include the recognition of an individual's right to die with dignity. And if that means euthanasia, suicide, birth control, and abortion, that's where it's coming from. We believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by Orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. And that's why they say divorce should be recognized. The many varieties of sexual exploration should not be considered as evil. They say we oppose any tyranny over the mind of man to shackle free thoughts. In past, such tyrannies have been directed by who? By churches and states attempting to enforce the edicts of religious bigots. And they say this: promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation, the text that I just read from the lips of Jesus Christ, what do they say? It's illusory and harmful. And yet he warned people about that out of love. Because he cared. And they also say this: salvationism, the whole reason why you and I are here and celebrating, folks, based on mere affirmation, still appears as harmful. It's diverting people with false hopes of the heaven hereafter. No deity will save us. We're going to save ourselves. That's their belief. Now, as we went through that, just a few of their belief systems, folks, does that sound familiar, like the attitudes today? You bet it is. No, most people don't even have any idea, folks, where this is coming from. It's coming from these guys. And most people don't even realize this. It isn't just the Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments were taken out of schools. It was these guys who were responsible. The humanists, folks. And they did it under the guise that religion and education do not mix. You get this. Back in the 1960s, humanism itself was declared a religion by the Supreme Court. Again, you guess whose religion is still being taught in schools? It's humanism. And today, folks, faithful and godly teachers not only have to contend with wicked behavior in the classroom, they have got to contend with the wicked agenda of the humanist who's got a totally different mindset of teaching our kids. Get this. That man right there is John Dewey. John Dewey is the father of what's called progressive education, the education that we've got in our country right now. He was an original signer and founder of the Humanist Manifesto. You tell me if they're not using the schools. You think you're sending your kids there, getting the three R's. They obviously need the reading, writing, arithmetic. They need to include spelling. No, they're not, folks. They have created the schools to teach them to become humanists. Listen to this. Here's their actual quotes. Charles F. Potter, Humanism, New Education. Listen to this. Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is now a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and the teaching of only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching? Here's another one. Richard Bolzar, he said, quote, "We must ask how we can what? This is a war, people. How we can kill the God of Christianity. Here's what we do. Here's our method. We need only to ensure that our schools," this is why Bible and prayer and 10 commandments are taken out, "our schools only teach secular knowledge. If we could achieve this, God would indeed be shortly due for a funeral service." John Duffy said this, "I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won where? In the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity. These teachers must embody the same selfless," listen to this, "dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers. For while there will be ministers of another sort, utilizing what? A classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach," listen to this, "regardless of educational level, whether it's preschool, daycare, or a large state university, the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism." Look, we have been deceived. I mean, guys, we're saying that's a little bit different agenda than what you kind of thought. Folks, this is not a game. And now, because of this rise, man is the center of all things. The human spirit. We can achieve anything. The average person today now thinks it's the teachings of humanism and the triumph of the human spirit that's now the antidote to fix all this wickedness. Yet in reality, they're following the teachings of the king of wickedness, Satan. Where did humanism come from? It came from the devil back in the Garden of Eden, folks. Here it is, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Satan speaking. He says, "You won't die." He's calling God a liar. "You won't die," the serpent hissed. "God knows that your eyes will be open when you eat it. And you will become just like who? God, knowing everything good and evil." Wait a second, Steve. You mean to tell me that man being the center of all things, man determining his own destiny, man being his own God, started with Satan? Yeah. Or Iacus in the Southern Greek? Therefore, here's the point, folks. We've sucked down the lie. Therefore, why in the world are we shocked at this massive rise of wickedness when we're following the teachings of the king of wickedness, Satan? When? When the Bible says you're in the last days. But that's the first step. He takes it in central. He gets us to worship ourselves. The second reason why people have turned from loving God to loving themselves, causing this rise of wickedness, is a promotion of a wicked worship. Get you to get off the biblical worldview. Now you're going to a humanist worldview. Now you're going to self. Folks, I am talking about the self-love, self-esteem movement. It is so infiltrated the American church, it almost makes me want to puke. I came out of that with the new age, self-help, self, all this stuff. I may just say, amazing grace. Saved a what? A wretch like me. Because of this, in the American church, you know what churches all across the board are doing right now today? They still sing that song. You know how they sing it? Not amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. That might damage my self-esteem. It's amazing grace that saved a person like me. Folks, people have no stinking idea that little of these they know. The teachings of self-love, self-esteem movement have aided in this massive rise of wicked behavior, even in the church. Today, because instead of listening to the word of God, we listen to the word of man. Psychologists who were anti-Christian God-haters in the cult. And we listen to those guys who've told us that, hey, we only got to love ourselves. We got to love ourselves at all costs, even if it means ignoring sinful behavior, refraining from discipline, blaming other people for your problems, and avoiding personal responsibility. Why? Because they say, hey, if we force people to deal with their sinful behavior, that might damage their self-esteem, and they'll have no hopes of a fulfilling life. Folks, as goofy as that sounds, that's exactly what it is. And it's because of this promotion of self-worship. Here's the fruits of it. Parents right now in Connecticut have taken their son's school to court. You know why? Get this. The school caught their boy destroying school property. And so what they do? They discipline him, rightly so, and had him expelled from the school, right? But now the parents say that their sons have feelings of unworthiness and that his self-worth has been damaged, so they're suing the school. But that's just simply iceberg. Maine, right now, signs saying happy holidays and the singing of Christmas carols are now being banned for the fear of making somebody feel excluded. In Manhattan, right now, Mother's Day is being eliminated because, well, after all, some kids might not have a mother and that could damage their self-esteem. But apparently so does kickball and dodgeball because that promotes competitiveness and that might make kids feel excluded and that's no longer tolerated. And folks, what's even crazier is some people, it's one thing for the world to do that, but some people in the church have actually said and twisted the scripture to say, no, the Bible, not just secular psychologists, says you got to love yourself. Really? Let's take a look at the text that they try to use and abuse. Let's take a look. It's from Jesus, Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. So this, Jesus replied. He says, here it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your what? Your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the what? First and greatest commandment. And the what? How many are there? Two. The second is equally important. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, there it is. We got to love ourselves. That's exactly what the Bible says, right? Wrong. Folks, here's the point. Read the Bible. Notice there are how many commandments that Jesus gave there? There's just two, not three. He said, here's the point of life, folks. You need to love God and love your neighbor. We don't have a problem getting up and loving ourselves. How many of you guys really have to pray about that real hard? I wonder if I'm going to love myself today. No one knows. Jesus is saying this. He says, take that natural tendency that you do love yourself and transfer it to God and other people. Get it off yourself. And then here's what's going on, folks. Some add that third commandment. They say, you got to love yourself. Then that's not bad enough. Then they say, unless you do that first, then you can't love God or other people. They have no idea, folks. They came out of the occult. The number one law of Satanism. I dare you to check it out. The number one law of Satanism is to do what you will. Is the whole of the law. Check it out. You know what that is? Self-love. It's all about me. I'm going to do what I want. I come first, not God. You talk about twisting the scripture, folks. Oh, but these guys don't twist the scripture. Get this. They turn a blind eye to the scripture that says not to love yourself, but to deal instead with your sin. Here's what the Bible says about self, folks. I got a major problem with that. Ezekiel 20, verse 43 says this, therefore you will remember your conduct, not blame it away, and all the actions which you have defiled yourselves, and you will love yourself? No. You will loathe yourself for all the evil you have done. Ezekiel 36, 31, 32 says, then you will remember your evil ways and your wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel. Job started to question God. Here's what he learned when God showed up. Job 42, 6, therefore I what? I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. But maybe it's just an Old Testament thing. No, it ain't, folks. It's all of the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, and he, Jesus, died for all that those who live should no longer live for who? Yourself, but for Jesus, who died for them and was raised again. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, true love, biblical love. We read this in our marriage ceremonies. Love is neither anxious to impress, get this, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. You can't even get more explicit than this. Philippians 2, 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteem who? Other people more than yourself. And finally, how do you get around this? Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, the very first thing you've got to do is to what? Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. Which means you might not get life your way. Folks, I am telling you, the Bible is clear. We are to honestly deal with our sinful behavior. We're not to do what psychologist says, to blame it on other people, to excuse it away. And we're certainly not supposed to sue other people who rightfully discipline us for bad behavior. Now here's the point. We've been sold a bill of goods. There's something more that soothes the soul than self-inflated self-love statements. It's who you become when you become a Christian. Our value as Christians comes not from self-inflated statements of self-love. It comes from being forever forgiven and accepted and forever loved by God through Jesus Christ. That's eternal value. Regardless of how you feel and what you say, Do you see the difference? But these guys, folks, not only twist Scripture and turn a blind eye to the Bible, they turn a deaf ear to their own facts. For instance, folks, researchers decided to test the effectiveness of self-esteem teaching in schools to measure how high these students thought of themselves academically. Get this. As it turned out, the more highly these kids thought of themselves, oh, they were big time in love with themselves. The more highly they thought of themselves, the less ability they had. A case in point was how kids in Washington, D.C. ranked number one in the country for self-esteem. Yet they ranked second to last in the nation in academic performance. And I couldn't put it better than this. It's a secular researcher, folks, not even a Christian. He said years of self-love propaganda has succeeded only in producing self-deluded kids. Can't discipline Johnny. Can't have the Ten Commandments on the walls. That might destroy his self-esteem. You wonder why they're killing each other? The average person today thinks it's the teachings, even in the church. Self-love, self-esteem, that's the antidote we need to cure this rise of wickedness. Yet in reality, they don't realize this self-love, self-worship started with Satan. This is what caused the fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, verse 13 through 14, talking about his fall. You, Satan, have said in your heart, what? I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will be worshipped above all. Wait a second, you mean to tell me, Randy, that this teaching... Well, boy, have we been duped. This teaching that man has to love himself more than anything, man is to be exalted above all self, man is to be exalted even above God, started with Satan. Yes. Therefore, is it any wonder, folks, that we've seen this massive rise of wickedness? Hello, we're following the teachings of the king of wickedness. Just like the Bible said we would when you're in the last days. Oh, but that's still all, folks. It gets even worse. He gets us the first two, because here's one. He wants you to end up worshiping him. The third reason why people turn from loving God in our society causing a massive rise of wickedness is this promotion of a wicked witchcraft. It's called Wicca. Been there, done that. For those of you who don't realize, Wicca, folks, has caused a massive rise of wickedness in our country. And for those of you who do not know, Wicca is simply the new term. They just repackaged it. It's the new term for old-fashioned witchcraft. That's all it is. Of course, they're not going to say, hey, you want to meet with my youth group? We're in a Wicca coven. No, that sounds pretty good. But don't say this. Hey, come on over to my house. We're going to practice witchcraft. You see all they've done? You just changed the terminology. And they're teaching people to worship Satan. But call it what you will, folks. Here's what I want you to realize. It isn't just Wicca is on the rise. I'm here to tell you witchcraft has already infiltrated the thinking of our society. Listen to this. If you know anything about witchcraft, listen to this. Witchcraft believes that the entire earth is a living, breathing organism and is a manifestation of the mother goddess. What's that sound like? It sounds like environmentalism, doesn't it? It's exactly what it is. Witchcraft says the male or the mother or female goddess is to be worshipped above all, not a male god. You need to get rid of this male domination. Hey, that sounds like feminism, doesn't it? You bet it is. They say no, truth. There are no absolutes, folks. Truth is what is true for you. Sounds like relativism that's rampant in our society today, doesn't it? Folks, that is straight out of witchcraft. Witchcraft says in order to contact these gods and these goddesses, supposedly, for personal power, because it's all about you, that you need to practice astrology, divination, incantation, psychic power, and speaking with the dead. Hey, wait a second, that sounds just like Hollywood today. It sounds like TV programs, 1-800, I call them psychic hotline, forget that, 1-800, call a demon. John Edwards guy, the crossing over, that program that's on Hollywood. It's all over our society. Here's the point. Guess what? That means society's already been infiltrated by what? Witchcraft. And now if thanks to movies and sitcoms like Charmed and the Harry Potter series, hey, witchcraft's got an even a whole new appeal, even to kids. In fact, it's not only preparing the kids, environmentalists and feminists. Get this. You want to go to a secular psychologist to the Word of Man? You better be careful. Right now, they're using witchcraft occult techniques on their patients. Folks, we are being duped. And because of this new slick campaign presented by witchcraft, Wicca, right now, folks, wake up. It's considered by some to be the fastest growing religion in the United States right now. It's the second most popular religion amongst teens, and I wonder why. They're the ones that are being targeted. And here's the whole point with Bible prophecy. Most people have no stinking idea. The Bible actually foretold of a time when witchcraft and its demonic practices of sorcery would actually become not just commonplace, but commonplace across the world during the tribulation. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 through 21 says, "But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to turn from their evil deeds." Oh, man's so great. Man's on. Are you kidding? The book of Revelation reveals the heart of man is desperately wicked. You still won't come and get right with God. He says this, they continue to worship demons and idols made of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood idols that neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their what? Their murders or their what? Witchcraft or their immorality or their thefts. Wait a second, why? This is just too wacky. Pastor Billy, you've gone over the edge. Somebody's did a drive-by chicken shoot at your house or something. The fumes done got all over you, buddy. You're over the top on this one. You mean to tell me? Society would get so bad. There would not just be witchcraft. There would be witchcraft all over the world. Come on, wake up. Could that really happen? It's happening before our very eyes, folks. Just like the Bible said would happen when? When you're in the last days. And this is what is mind-blowing. How many evidences does God have to give us? How many signs out of love does He have to warn us? That Christ is soon to come back, people. Yet many people still refuse to listen to God's message and be saved before it's late. Wake up! God is willing to save you. Here's what He says, 2 Corinthians 6:2. For God says, at just the right time, I didn't plug my ears to you. He said, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Because today is the day of salvation. People, I hope this is not going in one ear out the other. I hope you're not one of those people still refusing. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. They're still refusing to listen to God's incredible offer to be saved. You can laugh and scoff all you want. But one day is coming. If you refuse to get right with God, Jesus Christ warned about it. As a preacher of the gospel, I have to warn you about it. If you don't get right with God, you're running the risk of being left behind. Don't! God loves you. He's willing to help you right now. Today's the salvation. Because He loves you and I, He's given us this warning sign today. The rise of wickedness to show us the second coming of Christ is near. The tribulation's around the corner. That's exactly why Jesus said, charge! When you see these things begin to happen, stand up, lift up your head. Your redemption is a victory time. Your redemption's drawing near. If you're not a Christian here, I beg you today, please receive God's gracious offer to be saved before it's too late. Now is the time. Today is the salvation. There is a devil and there's a God. And there's a heaven and there's a hell. Please go to heaven. And if you're a Christian here today, how many times do I have to say this? Stop worshiping yourself. I ain't got time for God. But at the drop of the hat, somebody asks you to go do something. You do it. That's self-worship. God's asking you to give of your time. You refuse it. He's asking you to give of your treasure. But you worship money more than God. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. But here's the reality. You know who a person worships by taking a look at their checkbook. And that's why Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. You're going to love the one or you're going to hate the other. When you get saved as a Christian, God gives you gifts. Those gifts are meant to serve other people in Jesus' name. There are people in this congregation that are suffering because you refuse to use those gifts for the edification of the body. That's self-worship. That's loving yourself more than God. And the Bible says he's given us a pair of lips. He's given us hands. And he says the ship's going down, folks. You need to get busy sharing the gospel. And if you refuse to, it's because you're more afraid of man than you're afraid of your maker. You love yourself more than people who are headed straight to hell. What kind of love is that? Folks, wake up as a church. Get busy living for Jesus. Stop loving yourself. And get busy sharing the gospel, because one day you might get a letter straight from hell. Like this guy did. We'll close in prayer after this.
What if? What if you had a friend who died without knowing Jesus as their personal Savior? What if he or she went to hell? What if one day you received a letter in the mail from beyond? A letter from hell. A letter from your friend in the flames of eternal torment.
I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian. You told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it 3 different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck.
Well, the question I can't get out of my mind is this, Zach. Why haven't you ever told me about how to become a Christian? I mean, you say you're my friend, but if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm headed for. I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the lake of fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh, no. No! They're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone. I can see the edge of the cliff where hell burns. This is it. I am without hope. We're coming closer. 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 My heart is bursting with fear. They're holding me over the flames. I'm damned forever. This is it. They have thrown me in. Fire. Pain. Hell. Why, Zach? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Jesus.
Signed, your friend, Josh.
Your friend, Josh.
P.S.
Welcome.
Wish you were here. Wish you were here.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and I hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this. God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off a death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off a death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon. Even though the person's guilty of their crimes, he could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person is alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. Hey, if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.